There we go. And just the recap for the recording that I forgot to start. It's again Friday, April 17th, 2020, with 15 in quarantine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which is in Judea, or in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin all. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, though, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan has hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. another person joined us, I think. That's good. So, starting here in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Again, here you see whenever people receive the word of God. I mean, definitely when you share your faith, even when pastors, preachers, teachers, all them evangelists, they're all up, they share the word of God and whatnot. Look what happens when you receive it. What's Paul say? For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. It brings great joy to the one that shares it. I mean, think about that. Think about the joy it will bring you in your life if you see, especially if it brings them into the church, a body of Christ. They receive that saving knowledge and they place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of joy does that bring to your life? The same joy also continually comes as we receive God's word. So the one that imparts it, they receive joy. We remember in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Why? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They received Paul's message, and that brought great joy. So keep that in mind. And not only does receiving it bring great joy to the one that imparted that truth to you, but all those around you also will joy. Because why? When you receive God's word and allow it to effectually work in you, you change. You become more like him. You allow the Holy Spirit to work. You become a brighter light, a better vessel to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that affects everyone around you. So for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, and notice these two words receive that we're going to see here. The first receive means from another person. The next one is kind of like a received, when you look at it in the Greek, as you received it for yourself. So for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, they received the word of God from Paul, which we heard of us. Here's that second receive. Ye received it not as the word of men. So when you received it, truly conceived it into your heart, you realize this wasn't from Paul. Yeah, I received it in a physical manner. But when I allowed it to come into my heart, I realized it's the Holy Spirit at work. I received it from God himself. And because of that, you received it in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So again, thanksgiving, we remember those verses. That brings joy to those all around you, not even the giver, but also this idea of received. How do you receive the word of God? Lord, remember, Lord, help us to see what you would do when we set aside the flesh. It'll be amazing what happens. And again, a recap, why Paul went to such great lengths to tell us how he presented the word of God. That wasn't in a deceitful manner. It was truly out of love. And he goes through this whole list that we've read already before in this chapter. Why? Because he didn't want flesh involved in giving the word of God to people. The same thing with us on how we receive it. Many times, I know I'll pray before I hear even special music, other people bringing forth the word of God, I'll say, Lord, help me to see what you'd have me to see. Because there's times maybe the person given the word might think they're the judge and they specifically target people out or whatever the case may be, or maybe they're not. But maybe the words are still the words of God. So you yourself, like Paul, when he set aside his flesh to present the word of God, you need to set aside the flesh to receive the word of God. Because the flesh is immediately going to say, that's not for you. You can keep sinning. You can keep doing that or doing this or feeling this. When the word of God might say, no, you don't need to feel ashamed because in Christ you're not ashamed. You don't need to feel rejected because in Christ you're accepted. Where you shouldn't go out and continue to do that sin because the word of God says no. And when you see that, you say, Lord, I will receive that. So keeping that in mind, look at what happens next. It says it effectually works. So when you receive the word of God, it will effectually work also in you, but you have to believe it. It says effectually also in you that believe. And this word effectually works when you receive God's word, you believe it, and then you walk by faith, not by sight, because most of the time, our flesh is going to be there trying to say, you feel otherwise. They'll say, nope, don't want to deal with that today. Nope, don't want to go that great length. Or nope, that sin's hidden, no one sees that. Don't have time for it. No. Allow the Holy Spirit access to convict your heart, to change you. And when you do that, the effectual working power that is in us. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 here. Sorry, not 1, but verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the same phraseology, the same word is used as well. That same power, the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians 1:13, that power. So if you're here tonight, you're listening, there's a power that is working in every believer that I'm speaking to. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't placed your faith in him, you're not sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you're not sealed unto the day of redemption. You're not going to make it to heaven. You'll be eternally separated from the Lord. So that very effectual working power that day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ, when you placed your faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that day you realized that the Lord Jesus Christ, and while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, he died for us. And when you place your faith in the finished work of Christ, that he shed his blood for your sins, made payment for your sins, was buried and rose again, that day you did that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if you do that today, this evening, and say, Lord, I believe. I know I'm a sinner. My wages of sin is death. I can't work for it. Can't work one step closer to heaven. But your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, did it all. Say, all you have to do is, for by grace you saved through faith, that not yourselves a gift of God. Receive the free gift of salvation by placing your faith, absolute everything, all your faith, in the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he died for your sins. So the moment we do that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're now dwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's that power that will effectively work in you when you walk in the Spirit, when you receive the Word of God. But I want to point something else out to you. Actually, we'll get to that in a second. I want to save that for last. In 14 and 16 here, it says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God. So when the Word of God effectually works in you and you accept Christ, you place your faith in him, his death, and burial, resurrection. Yeah, you do. You become followers of the churches of God. Paul many times says it's a church, the body of Christ. That's who you're placed into. Christ is our head. We are the body of Christ. But notice sometimes what that means is that some suffered like things of your own countrymen. We're not going to get into the exact details of what specifically happened here. But remember, here in America, yeah, we can have trials and tribulations from friends. We may even lose friends when we decide to stick up for the Lord Jesus Christ, walk with him. And in the moment we're saved and we want to share that, there might be some friends say, nope, don't want part of you anymore. Or maybe you quit doing certain things because now you're saved. Yeah, we can lose it. But think in some countries, some parts of this country where the way of life that permeates into the family as well as the government, they're all so much one unit. So when someone trusts Christ, place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're rejected completely. they're going to have tribulations. They lose friends. They lose family. They even lose their place in society because everything is might be revolving around some dead god. And then when they come to the true and living God, as we saw, they turn from those idols. But also that brings tribulation and trials and struggles through other men and women, family and friends. But Paul goes on after all that and says, wherefore we would come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. We'll come to that in a second. For what is our hope or joy or crown in rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? It's interesting. I see two things kind of here. Crown of rejoicing. Paul a lot of times talks, he referenced crowns as in our reward as Christians, as believers. And there is a day. The things that we do, and we read this at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very last verse talks about that keep on keeping on, walking in the Lord, walking in the Spirit, because our labor is not in vain. And we're going to get into some of that here later in 1 Thessalonians. And the reason why, because even at the end, even if death comes knocking at your door, Paul says, are ye not in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? The rapture of the church of the body of Christ, that day we receive our glorified bodies. We will meet up the believers. Maybe we'll be blessed to be alive when that happens. But that point is, we'll get to be together again. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a blessed hope. But I want to come back again to finish up tonight on two things here. Like we saw how Satan even hindered Paul. Satan's at work. He's powerful. Him and his cohort are powerful. So coming back to this phrase here at the end on how the Thessalonians received the word of God, that it wasn't a man. They received it as truly the Holy Spirit working in and through the living word. But it did come through that person. But that it effectually works in you that believe. Not only unto salvation that we talked about, but let me hit on one other point here. That it also effectually continually works for those who are willing to step out in the faith, to walk by faith, not by sight. So when we receive God's word, when we believe it, say, Lord, does your word say that? I just heard it presented. Yes, it does. Okay. Holy Spirit for sure working. No doubt he's the one that revealed and convicted you. Well, listen. Step out in faith. So what are you doing? Are you giving control of yourself to the Holy Spirit to display his mighty power in and through you? Because it won't only benefit you, but it's going to benefit everyone around you. Because when you're molded and you're shaped and you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know more and more of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand in that grace and you allow the grace to truly work in your life, not doing things because the law says so, not doing things because, oh, I have to do this. No, but when you realize the Holy Spirit just wants control of your life and you live in that grace, his power truly becomes effectual. It truly becomes mighty in you. So not only for you, but also for everyone around you, because light casts out darkness. Light will reveal the divide, because there's a lot of gray areas for a lot of people. But when you're walking in a light, you're shining for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come, Satan's not going to like it at all. And he's powerful. We remember in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, Ephesians chapter 2, that sometimes in times past, we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince, the power of the air. And when it works in that children of disobedience, he's many times referred to the prince, the power of the air. Paul says he hindered him. What better example when Paul says to follow me as I follow Christ? If you want to be followers of Christ, follow Paul. But yet, Satan still did hinder things. He's powerful. But there's a verse that we will get to in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to bring it up right now. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Satan is at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I'm not going to go into detail right now, but I want to point one thing out of that to get there, is that the one that hinders Satan, that can throw it back and hinder him, the one that prevents Satan from doing what he wants to do, when he becomes that truly a lion that really goes around seeking to whom he devours in a real manner, Who prevents that? It's the Holy Spirit. More specifically, it's the Church and Body of Christ, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells today in the dispensation of God's grace. So we hinder Satan in return. We have power over him when we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we allow the Holy Spirit access. Sunday we will be looking a little bit in Ephesians chapter 5, but also that first verse in chapter 5, verse 13, I think, or 18? 18. And be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This isn't a second filling. Holy Spirit lives inside you, dwells you, seals you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. None of that. But to be filled is to give access to. The more access of you, your being, you give to the Holy Spirit, the more and more and more power and the more work that he can do in and through you. So it's interesting. The power of God is at work through his word, but specifically through the Holy Spirit that brings God's word alive. And he takes that, receives it into you where he dwells, and brings it alive inside of you. So this very power that's inside of you, we recognize there's a power out there. That's Satan and his cohort. So our challenge tonight that I'll leave you with is to continually receive God's word, not as men. I'm sharing God's word tonight. You're going to hear it from other teachers, pastors, or whatnot. And you might sit down to read the word of God and hear it directly from the Holy Spirit as you sit there one-on-one with him. But the challenge is to receive it, because when you receive it, not as men, let me read this again. You received the word of God, which you heard of us, and you received it not as word of men, but as in truth. Realizing when you hear that, you see it in God's word as well. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. So the word of God will effectually work if you believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith brought us in. Faith is what allowed us to receive the free gift of salvation by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, his finished work in the cross. His shed blood for our sins, his death, burial, resurrection. We place our faith in his faithfulness. Boom, we're saved, we're sealed for all of eternity. But now, we're still commanded to believe, to trust in God's word, allow it to work in our life. Walk by faith, not by sight. And when we do, that effectual work and that power inside of us works. That's the Holy Spirit. Then we can start to conquer things in this life. Maybe it's personal issues, fear, rejection, loneliness, hurt, all these different things. Maybe it's physical enemies out there. It doesn't matter. When God's work's effectually working, we can be beat up. That's part of why Paul would always be happy in tribulation, because he knows the Holy Spirit's at work. He knows that where he goes, light's shining into darkness, piercing it, opening it up, revealing it. Maybe there's people lost and hurting out there, and now you're a light to them. They hear God's word and receive it, maybe unto salvation, or maybe to pull them out of their sinful ways that they start walking again. Whatever the case may be, you will be a beacon of light, not only to yourself because you're experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you, but also that beacon of hope, light, love, everything, to all those around you. And yes, when that happens, there will always be opposition, because when you're a beacon of love to a hurting world around you, you're also a beacon of hate in evil's eyes, even though it's not hate. But in evil's eyes, they hate you. So they look at the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as something not to be desired, something to tear down and destroy. But you become a beacon. So yes, they'll come, but always remember, who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit. He can't have control of you. Well, Satan can't have control of you. He can't defeat you as long as you keep walking in the Lord. And even when you do stumble and fall, he might throw things at you. He might scare you, tear you down a little bit. But all you got to do is do a 180 and look the other way back to the Lord, and you're in his grace. He's always been there. Now you can actually see it and know he's there. So again, trust in the Lord. Monday we'll be starting into chapter 3 here. Let's pray. Lord, just want to thank you again for the time tonight, for your word and how powerful it truly is. And Lord, maybe not just stop there and just say that your word's powerful, but Lord, that we truly receive it so that it becomes alive inside of us. The Holy Spirit can take it, use it, and shaping us and mold us and chisel away the things that we don't need and mold us in more to your image. So Lord, may we truly receive your word, truly believe it, walk by faith, not by sight, not by how we feel or what the world says, but by what your word says, so that we can walk in you and experience you and shed light into this dark and dying world. Thank you again for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him and him alone. By simple faith of saying, Lord, I believe in your death, your burial, and resurrection, that absolute forgiveness of sins, and the payment you paid for, complete. They are so free. Your salvation is so free. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for everything. We're praying for you. Until next time, God bless.